maybe you're in the middle of one of those storms. Maybe God just brought you through something. Maybe you need to tell somebody about it. I'll give you a chance. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6 today. You know, this is one of those messages, I guess, as I've thought about it. I hope it helps and encourages and strengthens you in some way. It's not a strong salvation message. It's just one of those messages that we sometimes need to hear because we come up against stuff. We come up against things in life, even when we're trying our very best to do what God has asked us to do, we still come up against situations and circumstances that kind of try to throw us off course. And in Mark chapter 6, we find kind of one of those stories. So I want to share that with you, beginning with verse 45. I want us to understand the context of what's going on here. Verse 45 picks up right after the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus has been out with his 12 disciples and they've been out with thousands of people ministering and meeting needs. So we come to the end of that. And in verse 45, it says, immediately he, meaning Jesus, made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he said goodbye to them, he went up to the mountain to pray. Well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Very early in the morning, he came toward them walking on the sea and wanted to pass by them. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out because they all saw him and they were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said, have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. And when they had crossed over, they came to the shore at Gennesaret and anchored there. God, use your word for your purpose. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Storms. We've all been in them. We've all experienced them. We were living in Olathe, Kansas, right smack dab in the middle of heart of Tornado Alley. Emily was just an infant. Jordan was probably about 2. And we were sitting in our home minding our own business there in Olathe, and a storm came up. I mean, it was a doozy. Tornado sirens started going off. Strong wind, heavy rain, hail. We lived in a split-level home, so we had a lower level, and Blenda took Jordan and Emily downstairs to the basement. And on my way down, you know, the beauty of a split level is when you're going down the steps, you hit the landing, and there's the front door, and then you kind of turn and go down to the... Well, while they went all the way down, I stopped at the landing, and I'm just one of those kind of guys that thought, well, I'm going to stand on the porch for a while and see what I can see. Electricity's out. So they're in the basement in the dark, and I'm standing on the front porch. I want to see something. And finally she said, come down here, please. So I went downstairs. And I remember Jordan crawling up on my lap. She was holding Emily. And I remember Jordan climbing up on my lap. And he held me real tight and he said, Daddy, Make it stop. Make it stop. Daddy couldn't make it stop. Next morning, we kind of went out to assess the damage, and part of the damage wasn't hard to see because we had a big picture window in the front room that looked out over the street, and it was broken by the hail. We had the Masonite wood siding on the house at the time, and when I walked out in the front yard and started looking back, you could see just chunks of the siding taken, chunks of the wood siding taken out. The hailstones hit it so hard. Tree limbs and branches down all over the neighborhood. And we found out later that day there was a tornado that actually hit ground about 2 miles from the house. But the next day the storm was gone. We survived it. Had to do some property repair, some maintenance and upkeep, but it was a pretty bad storm. And here we see Jesus sends his disciples out in the boat by themselves. While he did something that I think is very interesting after being as busy as he was, he sent them on ahead, telling them he was going to come meet up with them later, but it says he went up on the side of the mountain to pray. Even Jesus needed time away from the hustle and bustle of everyday life and the busyness and everything that was going on. Even Jesus himself needed to take that time to break away from everyone and find some time by himself where he could just communicate with his Father. And that's what Jesus was doing. It's what we all need to do from time to time. So I think it's interesting that he makes them get in the boat. It says he made them get in the boat and sent them ahead to the other side. But at some point, while they're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and Jesus is up on the side of a mountain, a storm came up. And from what I've read about that area geographically in the Sea of Galilee, because of its elevation and the mountain ranges all around, it is not unusual at all for storms to come up very suddenly and unexpectedly. Now, the other thing I want us to remember, you've got to keep this in your mind, not all of them, but several of the men who were on that boat were very experienced and seasoned fishermen. They lived on the Sea of Galilee. They knew exactly what it was like. It's not like they had never experienced a storm there before. But this must have been one of those doozies. Because I want us to think about some of the lessons that we find in this passage of Scripture about how Jesus handles and responds during the storms in our life. So here's the first thing I want you to know, no matter what you might be going through even today, no matter what kind of difficulty or storm you might be facing and you're sitting here thinking, boy, I wish somebody would just make this stop. I wish someone would just take this storm away. Here are some things I want us to understand about what Jesus is doing while we're in the middle of that storm. He's watching. He watches over us. If you remember, it says he sent them away. He goes up on the side of the mountain to pray, but I don't know exactly whether he did it on purpose, whether it was a part of his plan. I don't know exactly. Scripture doesn't tell us. But what I do know is that wherever Jesus was on the side of that mountain, he was positioned in a place where he could still look out across the water and he could see the disciples in the boat. And the other thing I want us to understand is that the disciples were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And a storm still came up. So Jesus is watching them and he's noticing and he's keeping, even though he's up on the mountainside to pray, it says, well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea. He was alone on the land and he saw them straining at the oars. So I want you to know this morning that he sees our storm, and that storms are going to come up in our life, even though we're doing and trying to do what God tells us he wants us to do. We might sit back and we might try to fall into that trap, and we might sit in the question and think, Lord, I'm trying to do exactly what you told me to do, and it seems like the whole world's against me. You know why? Because they probably are. If we're doing what Jesus tells us to do, I want us to understand that, I know this is real encouraging, we're going to face opposition. We're going to face struggles. There are going to be things that happen, because the last thing Satan wants is for us to accomplish whatever it is that Jesus is telling us to do. He sees every storm that we face. He sees our struggle. What does that mean? To me, it means that Jesus sees how I handle every storm that he allows to come into my life. He's watching me. He sees what my reaction is. He sees how I deal with different people or circumstances that may or may not be involved in whatever storm I might be going through. He watches how we handle it. I want you to know this journey of following Jesus is not always easy. It's not always going to be easy. There are going to be times when we face some stormy weather. And the question is, when we face the stormy weather, are we going to be determined enough to follow through on what Jesus has instructed us to do, that we're willing to keep rowing even though we're rowing against the wind, and even though we're rowing against all the opposition that Satan and the enemy of our soul can put up against us? Are we willing to stay in the battle and stay in the struggle and work and keep working until we reach the goal and the destination that Jesus has given us? Because I'm going to tell you, there are times when it's much easier to give up, or it seems like. There are times when we can sit back and think, I'm not sure this is even worth the struggle. I'm not sure of even what I'm struggling for. I'm not sure why Jesus sent me to this place in the first place. I'm not sure why Jesus is asking me to do this. There are going to be winds of opposition. There'll be winds of discouragement. There might be even winds of doubt. There are going to be waves of physical setback. The pain in our back. The physical illness that we might face. Any kind of physical setback can be one of those things, one of those waves of a storm that come up against us that we have to try to figure out how to work through. Financial struggles. There might be family concerns. Maybe it's that wave of false accusations or gossip and slander. You see, these things and many more can come from the storms we face along the journey. And like his disciples, Jesus is watching us, and he sees exactly what we do in the midst of the storm. They kept rowing. They kept struggling. They kept straining. Even though the wind was against them, they didn't quit or give up. And we have to be so determined in this journey with Jesus that no matter what comes up against us, we have to be determined not to quit and not to give up, but to reach the destination that Jesus has for us. Jesus watches us. And even when it seems like he's not there, even when it seems like he's a long ways away, he knows exactly what we're going through. So then what does that cause him to do? It causes him to come to us. It says he saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And very early in the morning, he came toward them walking on the sea. He watched. Now, we can ask a lot of questions about this passage of Scripture, okay? And I have a few of these thoughts written down here. But he watched them, and he watched them for quite a while. The Jewish night the Jewish way of keeping time, the Jewish evening starts at 6 o'clock. So nighttime in Jewish land is 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock in the morning. It's a 12-hour period of time. And if you use some of the other translations, I believe it says that about the fourth, in the fourth watch of the night. So from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. is the first watch. From 9 p.m. to midnight is the second watch. Midnight to 3 is the third watch. And 3 to 6 would be the fourth watch. So if Jesus waited, if he watched them and waited until the fourth watch of the night, tells me he didn't inject himself into the situation until about 3 o'clock in the morning, at least. Why would Jesus, why would this great, mighty, all-powerful Savior, Messiah, God in the flesh, why would he allow us to struggle for that long? Why would he sit there on the side of the mountain watching us row ourselves half to death and wait as long as he did to do anything? Maybe, just maybe, it's because he knows that if he jumps into every situation and every problem that we have right when it starts, we'll never learn to fight for what we believe in. We'll never learn the importance of the struggle. We'll never learn the importance of being able to do anything for ourselves. Maybe if he jumped in every time a problem even thought about coming up, it would make us weaker in our faith instead of stronger. So he watched them for a long time. He waited. He didn't step in right away. But he did step in. He did choose to act, and when he acted, it was something to behold. You see, I don't know what the tipping point must have been. It would all be speculation, but maybe it was a situation where they were getting so tired and they were getting so weary and so worn out and they were so drained from all the energy that Jesus knew that they were about to be overcome by the storm. And at the very point when they needed him the most, Jesus steps in. And when he steps in, or maybe I should say steps on. Because when Jesus decided to take action, he didn't walk around the shore. He didn't find the easiest route. He stepped out onto the top of the waves of the water and he walked right out to them. I think of an old song that I heard years and years ago during revival service at my home church. There's a song that says, "He came to me. He came to me." Listen to this next line. "When I could not come to where he was, he came to me." I can't prove it. So this is, I'm staying true to my word. When I tell you that anytime I inject something into a sermon, it is my opinion. I'll tell you, this is what I believe. I think Jesus allowed them to get to the very end of their ability, their wits end, so to speak, maybe, before he stepped in. And I think he allowed that struggle to continue. And quite frankly, I think he allows the struggle to continue in us so that he sees how we're going to react. But here's one thing I know. He does not want us to fail. He does not want us to fall. He doesn't want us to be lost. And when Jesus determines the time is right, he steps into that situation and he steps into that storm and he takes complete control of it and shows us that we can be victorious. You see, I kind of have a pet peeve about some things in Scripture. People take these little Scripture quotes and they take them all out of context and then they even change the words. And one of the things that I hear people say so many times, and I'm not being disrespectful, maybe if you say this, I don't mean it in a bad way, but people say, well, God will never give us any more than we can handle. That's not scriptural. Scripture does tell us he will not allow us to be tempted to sin beyond what we can bear, but will always provide a way of escape. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell me that God's not going to give me more than I can handle. You know why? Because if God never gave us any more than we can handle, we don't need him. God will give you way more than you can handle, but he'll be there to help you through it. So he watches over us, and when he sees that it's the right time and the right place, he comes to us and steps in, and then he helps us. When he steps in to help us. How does he do that? Well, sometimes when he steps in, he calms our hearts. You ever heard that song, sometimes he calms the storms, other times he calms his child? Sometimes he helps us by calming our own hearts and our own concerns and our own worries. Jordan said, Daddy, make it stop. Dad didn't make the storm stop. But both of our children at the time knew they were as safe and secure as we could possibly make them, because one was in her arms and the other was in mine. And we need to always remember that in the midst of the very worst storm that we can face, the arms of Jesus are right there holding us, even if we can't see it and maybe we can't feel it. Sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he just takes it away. Whether that's through physical healing, whether that's through financial provision, whether that's through a spiritual touch, whether that's through an emotional touch, whatever it might be, whatever it is that we're needing at the time. Sometimes God works in those ways where he just removes it, takes it away. And the other thing he does in the midst of all this is he helps us to reach the destination that he sends us to. Remember what they were doing. Jesus said, get in the boat and go ahead of me. I'll meet up with you later, but get in the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to Bethsaida. I'll meet you there. You see, it's never the plan of Jesus, even in the midst of our storms, it's never the plan or the will of Jesus for us to get distracted and sidetracked and compromise to the point where we don't reach our destination. How did he help them do that? He climbed right up in the boat with them. He climbed right up in the boat with them. And when he got in the boat, it says the wind stopped blowing. And they were completely astounded. Have you ever been completely astounded by something God has done? Has God ever worked in your life in such a way that it just completely amazed you to the point where it was unbelievable? Maybe you've been healed of that disease that the doctor said there was no cure for. Maybe you've seen that person saved that you thought, whoa, that person will never get saved. Don't say that. He got right in the boat with them. In the middle of our worst storms, Jesus will do whatever he has to do to help us through it. Even and especially if that means crawling right up inside the boat with us. Here's the fourth and final thing I want us to understand about this today. In the midst of our storm, Jesus is the anchor. He got in the boat with them. When they'd crossed over, verse 53, they came to the shore at Gennesaret and anchored there. They anchored. I told you before, that song, I've anchored in Jesus, what's that mean? The purpose of the anchor, whether it's on your little fishing boat or whether it's on the biggest cruise liner or aircraft carrier or naval destroyer that you can find, the purpose of the anchor is to hold the ship steady and to keep it from drifting off course. In the midst of our storms, Jesus will be the anchor that keeps us from drifting off course and missing our destination. I thought these next closing words were important enough for you to keep with you, and I had Karen include them in the outline. When St. Augustine was speaking of Jesus in this passage, he said this. He came treading the waves. And so he puts all the swelling tumults of life under his feet. So Christians, why afraid? What's that tell me? When Jesus comes with everything he's got. And he comes because he means business. And there's no wave, there's no wind, there's no storm that's going to overcome what Jesus is trying to accomplish. Then William Barclay says this, it is the simple fact of life, a fact which has been proved by countless thousands of men and women in every generation, that when Christ is there, the storm becomes a calm. The tumult becomes a peace. What cannot be done is done. The unbearable becomes bearable. And we pass the breaking point and do not break. To walk with Christ will be for us also the conquest of the storm. What do we do in the middle of our worst storms? We hold on to Jesus with everything we've got. And sometimes we might ask him to take the storm away and Daddy make it stop. And other times we just ask him to hold us and keep us safe until it passes by. But either way, if we're walking this journey with Jesus, no matter what storm we face, he'll be right there with us in the middle of it all to see us through if we'll be faithful. Father,